Happy Thursday, Ask Carrot Thursday. This is our third one, and we're up in the ante a little bit. The first episode, it was myself. Was it just you and me, Adrian, or was it?
No, actually, I missed the first one.
Was it just me on the first one, Brady?
Yeah, it was just you because I was sick that entire week. This is the third edition.
Dude, so what we're trying to do with every single Ask Carrot, y'all, is we're trying to add more people. So the first one was just me. The second one was me and Adrian. And Kylie popped in there. The fourth one, we're like, well, shoot, we got to have four amazing people on here. So I texted two of my good friends and amazing investors, Dano DiGiacomo in Baltimore. Say, what's up, man?
What's going on, guys?
And we've got Mr. Max Maxwell from up, North Carolina via airplanes all around the world. been seeing you fly a lot lately, man. You've been all over the place.
Got back from New York. It's crazy.
So are you inside of your studio right now?
This is my 5,000 foot complex that we just built. This is one of the podcast rooms here.
Dude, I've been seeing the pictures on Instagram of the big white screen thing in the background and all that, dude.
Love it. It's a 20 by 20 infinity wall.
Yeah.
We'll be pumping out some great content.
I like it, man. So here's a couple things, y'all. As you guys are coming in here, and we've got this streaming on YouTube right now, simultaneously with Facebook, and I'm going to be going live on my Instagram live right now. And over the course of the time, during and after these, we usually have, hundreds, if not well over 1,000 people that view these. It'll go out to our email list and our podcast tomorrow. So there's going to be thousands of people viewing this. And one question we get quite a bit, which we're going to dive into that here in a bit, but we're going to do some housekeeping first, is one question we get quite a bit is people ask, like, how do I build the team? How do I build a team? How do I delegate? How do I start to get some of that freedom back? Because especially as you're starting out as a wholesaler, a flipper, a real estate agent, you got to put your head down and do the work. But eventually, to really gain, like I say, freedom, flexibility, to really grow those finances, you can't do it all yourself. And all of us here on this call are at varying levels of building teams. And I thought, man, it's going to be just a great way to come on and both answer people's questions about team building, but answer questions about anything. You guys got us all here, all on here. So if it's about marketing, if it's about whatever, toss your questions our way. But I want to quickly introduce everyone around the horn here, and then we're going to dive into some housekeeping items behind me here. And then we're also going to open up for some questions. Make sure, guys, pop your questions through on the Facebook channel. Pop your questions through there in the questions panel or in the comments section. Brady on my team is leading that, making sure that we get them put in front of us. We'll answer them as best as we can. And share this puppy up, guys. If you're liking this, share this puppy up. Just go over there and share it. Get dozens and dozens, if not hundreds, of people here watching it live. That'd be pretty darn sweet. But start at the top, man. So, Daniel DiGiacomo, who the heck are you, man? What do you do?
Trevor, man, I've been in real estate for a couple of years now. You know that. Yep. One of the first couple hundred carat customers back in the day. So I've been a landlord for better part of a decade now. Big buy and hold guy, and that business is fun. It's a lot of passive income. It's not scalable the way that I wanted it. I mean, it is, of course, it's scalable, but it's not as easily scalable without dumping a ton of capital into it. So I don't know, a couple of years back, I got into wholesaling, some other stuff like direct lending, hard money lending, some things like that. But my whole, this whole team thing, this conversation is going to be focused around the wholesaling operation and how that thing has scaled significantly.
Cool. And you were out at Carrot Camp this last September. And dude, we'll get into this a little bit, but it was cool seeing kind of some of that mindset shift you had after that. And seeing some of the texts that you sent me, dude, I'm so proud. I want to dig into that because I want to dig into what that mindset shift was, how you're doing your business now differently than the way you were doing it before. Actually, all four of us were at Carrot Camp last time. Mm-hmm. All of us were. Sweet. Let's pass it over to Max, guest number two, man. For those of you who don't know who Max is, who are you, man?
So I am a real estate investor, primarily wholesaling, doing buy and holds for myself so I can get that mailbox money. Mm-hmm. I actually met Daniel at Carrot Camp, and we connected there, me and my homie T-Rob. I know him and T-Rob does some business now. That's Tony the Closer for y'all that don't know.
Yep.
But I actually got to sit down with Daniel one day at breakfast, and then I got his whole backstory, right? So it all makes sense. So to understand where he is now to where he came from, that dude's killer. So congrats to him on all his success. But dude, I started this business 2.5 years ago. started kind of documenting my process online, and a lot of people wanted to watch it. And one thing led to another. I just, you know, now I guess they consider me an influencer, but I just feel like I just document my day, and that's why it works. But, you know, we're wholesaling, you know, on a great month, you know, 12 deals, mm-hmm. average, you know, seven to 10.
Yep.
I have seen a small decline because I am building a massive team now, but mm-hmm. I'm sure we'll get into that type of stuff as we go on. But yeah, man, so we're just, I'm just a regular investor guy with the YouTube channel.
I love it, man. And we're going to be down, us three. You're not making it to Dallas, are you, Daniel?
No, unfortunately, I cannot. I'm kicking myself, but I'll be at the next one, my man.
Dude, it's going to be a huge event. So myself, Adrian, Brady here in my room, the guy who leads the digital content here, and other team members. And I know there's a bunch of Carrot customers are going to be down there in Dallas next week. That's crazy. That's next week.
I leave in a few days. I have to be in Dallas on Tuesday.
That's crazy, man. I'm sharing this on Facebook really quick.
So Max, a big question is, did we get Jerry Jones? Did we get him to commit?
You know, I'm still working on Jerry Jones, but he's in the works.
There you go.
I said Adrian's got to read the chief. It's got to. If you're not coming, he's not coming.
I love it. And then Adrian, people already know you, man. But for those who don't, who are you, dude?
Yeah, Adrian is like Daniel, one of the first 50 so customers with Carrot. It's been an awesome journey. My passion lies is more on the front end of in this business, which is lead generation. And I'm really passionate about this topic because, you know, for a long time I struggled in my own business, and it's primarily wholesaling, but I love cash flow. We're doing a little bit more of light rehabs now because we're in a smaller market, and actually learned some really cool mindset stuff from I think I shared this with you with Max about his last event, picked up some nuggets there. So we kind of made a transition because we're in a kind of similar market size wise. Wholesaling, teaching people lead generation. And I think where my business grew, I love this topic that we were on today, is I think when I begin to really start putting people in the right positions, I put myself what I do best, and I just enjoy things more. Cause I don't like going on appointments. I really don't like negotiating. None of that stuff really excites me the way mm-hmm. that lead generation does. So when I was trying to do that whole process, it was just so draining. Started really excited, and then then the rest was just kind of like walking through mud.
Yeah.
But I'll share a lot of that mindset stuff that I learned throughout the process. I'm sure just like everybody else.
I love it. So I want to do some housekeeping items first, like, cause I'm notorious for forgetting to actually announce things or whatever. So the first thing, guys, we already mentioned it, but if you guys have not got your tickets for Wholesaling Elite Live down in Dallas yet, go there now and do it. What is the URL to grab tickets there, Max? I know there's still some tickets left.
www.welive19.com.
Welive19.com. So here's an announcement. We
have to put that W for some reason. I think I messed up with that.
You're good, man. So we the Carrot team is going to be down there. A good bit of us are. And we're one of the sponsors of the event. We've literally never, ever sponsored an event before because we say, yeah, I wanted to build a company to where we didn't have to do that. I'm like, I want to build a company where people come to us and they just come to us. We never have to go to them. And for the most part, that's what we've been able to do up to this point. We're going to have to shift gears. We can't do that forever. You know, we're going to have to really ramp things up in a different way moving forward. But Max came to us with the opportunity to kind of partner with them in that aspect of the event. And how can Carrot be a part of this? Because we knew we were going to have a ton of Carrot customers down there, mm-hmm. a ton of Carrot members. We have a couple Dallas employees down there. There was a bunch of just stuff that we said, hey, it makes sense. And also gave us a great opportunity to get some of our Carrot team members that don't normally go to events. So this is Brady's first time to an event meeting members, and Mason on our customer success team, he's going to go down too. And, we're pumped, man. So if anyone has not got your tickets yet, especially if you're in Texas or Dallas, go grab them. And hopefully this will give you a little bit of a bump as a part of the agreement. See if I'm pointing at the right spot. If you're cool, if I show this right now,
yeah.
As a part of the agreement, we've got a Carrot coupon code. Okay. So if you already got your ticket, guys, awesome. You got your ticket. Celebrate. Raise your hands and say, thankfully, I got a ticket right now. You're going to be there. You're going to get 8,000% more value than you invested. If you haven't got your ticket, hopefully this puts you over the edge. You can go to the website Max mentioned. We'll put it in the comments below and use Carrot, the Carrot coupon code. And because you're in our community, you're going to get 30% off your ticket. And we were talking with Max right before this about just like, the content's going to be amazing. The people are going to be amazing. Just the whole thing's going to be awesome. So Max, quick 60 seconds, man. Why should people get down there? And then we're gonna bounce over to answer people's questions on scaling and teams and stuff.
I think everybody in this chat right now understands that when you go to a conference, the most important thing is the actual people that attend. It's not the speakers, like, even though the speakers are very important. Mm-hmm. This is not a pitch fest. Nobody on the stage is going to be selling anything. It's going to be, I try to put together the largest wholesaling event so that when you go back home, you have a family. Because as a investor wholesaler, it's lonely in this business because there's not a lot of people in it. So when you can come together with 1,200, 1,500 other wholesalers, you literally just bring in family together. And I got Gary V come because he's been a huge influence on my life. So he's going to come here and spit a few bars for everybody. And it's going to be easy, man. I just added somebody right now just through text message that is going to be, it's amazing. So I just want people to come and meet each other. Mm-hmm. That's it, really. Like, I'm literally holding a large meetup, but you're going to get dimes. You're going to get, it's going to change your life, the information, because the people speaking, you're speaking on the main stage. Mm-hmm. A lot of people that are speaking there are very successful and they're giving. Mm-hmm. They want to give you something to change your life. So that's why I was very careful with who we got there. And dude, I'm telling you, you being on stage, Gary V being there, that's blowing up. That was a lot of money. But I can't wait to meet everybody, man. It's going to be awesome.
Dude, so here's...
I can vouch for the event. I was fortunate to go to Max's first event, and I even texted him after the fact, like, you know, because I, you know, you guys know me. I've been to several, and...
Yep. You go to events every week, Adrian.
Yeah, exactly. So man, it was top notch from production, from just the environment, the atmosphere that they put together, and it was definitely one of the highest quality, the highest quality event, and I don't say that very loosely at all. They got a great media team, and it was really, really put together. So, you know, because I know as investors, we're always hesitant, we're always on the fence because, you know, it's going to be pitch fest, we're going to be sold this, that.
You're not allowed to sell food.
It's not there at all. So,
it's cool, man. And look, I want to personally on air, on live, thank Carrot, because a lot of people, and I'm very honest, I tell you guys when I lose money on real estate deals, we lost money on this event. But it was more important to push forward this event so that people can have that experience. It wasn't about making money here, because there's a lot of things I can monetize with my audience right now. But when you have sponsors like Carrot that spend money in sponsorship, what they're literally doing is allowing people to come to this event, you know, that bought tickets, and that does things. And, you know, just the AV alone is $100,000. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we don't cut any corners when it comes to putting events like these on. So I'm not afraid to say, there'll be other people probably that will say something bad about it. I didn't make a profit. I lost money. I lost $100,000 doing this event, but it's going to be the best event ever. I promise.
Dude, even if you did make money on it, it's like, who cares, man? It's like, no, more the goal power to you, man.
Once we got to that point, I'm not afraid to say make money, but the goal for the whole event was to make sure it was the best, and that was my goal. So I didn't cut any corners,
mm-hmm. Dude. So before we dive into some questions and some of the team stuff, or some of the scaling stuff, I want to throw this at you. And literally, this just like crossed the wires in my brain to put these two and two together. So the very, very first live event I ever went to, and I don't know if you guys can remember back to the first live event that you ever went to for anything. It doesn't matter if it's real estate. Mm-hmm. The first one I ever went to was this event in Orlando. And this would have been this was 2008 in Orlando. And it was a 7-day event. It was crazy. Like, if you were to buy the ticket for the event, it was $8,000 or $9,000 for the whole thing. I didn't have that money, dude. So I didn't pay it. But this event looked amazing, and I'm like, oh my gosh! So you can come and buy this 3-day block, which is kind of more the big event, and then you can add on this 2-day with just these awesome people, and this 1-day. And dude, the lineup was crazy. If you're interested in internet marketing, right? It was like, it was when Frank Kern was just becoming Frank Kern. It was Jeff Walker was just becoming Jeff Walker. Jay Abraham, like one of the godfathers of marketing, was one of the main guys there. And long story short, I wanted to go, and they ran a contest, and without making this what Ask Carrot's about today, but I ended up winning a ticket. So I won a ticket for the whole event. And there was a speaker there. I kind of knew who he was, but he wasn't a marketing guy. He was a wine guy at the time. And the very first live speaking gig he ever did that was a paid speaking gig was that event. It was Gary Vee. So that was, I went to Gary Vee's first ever paid speaking gig.
Wow.
And I didn't know it was his first ever paid speaking gig until, you know, years later when he was on a podcast saying, talking about this event. And he's like, I just, you know, they said, we want to fly you down here and we're going to pay you. And Gary's like, oh, I just picked up the biggest number I could think of. And I said, $5,000, thinking they're going to say no. And they're like, yes. And then, so he flew down there. I was at his very first one. So it's kind of coming full circle that, you know, it's amazing he's here, but this is the reason I'm bringing this up. Going to that event, I thought I was going for the content, but like you said, man, I walked away from that with legitimately an actual business partner I'm still friends with today in another software company. I invested in his company in 2010 and it's doing really, really well right now. His family was out at my house this summer, Chris Brisson. Six or seven other guys that are just like literally amazing close friends that I met there at that event. And it really did catapult kind of my businesses, which was amazing. And so if anyone has that chance, and if you're looking to pick up nuggets at Max's event, you're 100. If you already have a business that's active and you don't walk out of there with an idea that's going to make you $100,000 this next year, you're probably sleeping at the event. But yeah, if you don't have an event that's active, this could be the time that makes things click for you. You could meet the people who become business partners. You could make the mindset shift, or it could just really spark things. So go grab it, guys. Just Google Wholesaling Elite Live, or what's the domain name again, man?
WeLive19.com.
WeLive19. So go there, use the Carrot coupon code to get 30% off. We'll see you next week. So let's dive in right now. And I'd like to kind of open up the topic to you guys. I'm going to start with you, Daniel. I'm not ignoring you guys. I'm trying to pull up like Facebook here. That's what I'm trying to do. But if you guys have questions about real estate, about investing, about marketing from any one of these guys on this, please ask them now. This is your chance. The next thing is we're going to dive into kind of building a team, because I know for me, when I started becoming an entrepreneur, the big thing for me was you're looking for that freedom. You want flexibility. And I had this limiting belief in my mind that building a team would actually eliminate that. The building a team would make it harder, man. I don't want to be like tied down by people. I want to be free and I want to walk around the office in my underwear and do whatever I want to do. Right. What I've realized now that it's actually the opposite. So let me pop over to Daniel. You've been in business for a while. And it's not that you haven't had teams. You've just made a shift lately. But what does your current team look like? And then what mindset shift, even before Carrot Camp, man, what mindset shift did you have before then that you've recently shifted?
Yeah, so my team experience has always been like micro teams, right? Mm. So I'd put little tiny teams into place. They do micro tasks. I could micromanage them. And I still had my thumb on every single piece of what was going on. So I thought I was building a team. Really, I was just trying to clone myself, make a bunch of little Daniels, and have them do exactly what I wanted to do.
Yep.
That served my business from, you know, zero to 500,000, zero to 750 maybe. Mm-hmm. But that's like the ceiling on trying to micromanage your stuff. Right. So my mindset shift, Carrot Camp, we'll talk about that for a second. Back in September, Carrot Camp, it was a crazy experience. I was trying to pick up like the one thing that I walked away with. I don't think that's possible. But one of the things I walked away with was just the comfortability with being able to be fine not knowing the answers, right? Mm. I'm sort of used to talking about problems only after I solve them. Mm. And Carrot Camp was a great experience where I sat down with a bunch of guys doing a bunch of business. And they were happy to talk about the problems they were having today, mm-hmm. the problems that they didn't have a solution for. So that's probably one of the biggest things I walked away with at Carrot Camp. And I mean, the end of last year, the problem I was having was just building a team that I could trust, building a team that I could legitimately delegate to, and just trying to get away from that micromanage aspect of what my business was. So that's sort of where I am now. It's very much an evolving process. You and I talked about it earlier in the week. Like, I'm no I'm no team building expert. Mm-hmm. I can show you some bruises. I can show you a couple black eyes that I've acquired in this process. But yeah, right now I'm in a phase where I'm learning to let go. I'm learning to attract the right people, keep the right people. And that's huge. It's a huge part of where I am right now.
Dude, it was so cool. After you left Carrot Camp, you sent me a text message of your core values poster that you made.
Right. Yeah.
So
right.
Just kind of being here in the Carrot ecosystem, you see, we're pretty visual. We have these little posters, cues. I'm big about what you surround yourself in the day to day, including the people. Sure. I saw your video the other day about the people that you surround yourself. There was a guy maybe up in Boston that asked you that question of, mm-hmm. You know, what if family members are negative or something like that?
Yeah, you got to get rid of them. I think that's important to try to change who you're around, period.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, who you're around, your environment. And, dude, it was so cool seeing you go and create that core values poster. And I'm going to bring this whiteboard closer really quick.
Yeah, so the core values poster was...
What I want to do really fast to spur on the next part of the convo and pass around to Adrian and Max as well, is this. Da-da-da-da-da. I'm going to get rid of this. Is Daniel mentioned delegation, and he was able to take his business from, you know, around $500,000, $700,000 a year doing that kind of micromanaging. And dude, I was the same way, right? I was the same way where I felt I was kind of comfortable being here. Oh, we got a guest coming in. Mr. Kylie Newbold is going to pop in and say, hey, I've never seen a Zoom call with five, so we'll see if it even lets it happen.
I guess.
Are you Kylie? I just let you in, man. I don't see you though. You're here somewhere. So basically what happens is in that phase, when you're delegating, this is terrible writing. So when you're delegating, you're basically like, it's like a wheel, right? Where you're kind of the hub in the middle. Now you're that hub in the middle. And so you've got tasks. Okay. You've got tasks here that you need to do. You send tasks out to these other people. And this right here is your processes, right? So I'm just going to write P. So in order for you to stop doing tasks, you've got to send them to other people through processes. So at this point, in order to take that next step, you've got to start documenting processes, get them over to people. But then what ends up happening is those people then do the task, and then they kick it back to you. And as you start to delegate and delegate and delegate and delegate, and you're always in the delegation mind, what happens is you have all this stuff always getting kicked back to you, and then you're a massive bottleneck again. And so that's that transition that Daniel had to make recently, and I'd like to kick it over to Max here in a second. But you have to get out of this because you come to a point where you're so bottlenecked, you just don't feel like you can do your work anymore. You're like, man, I got to the end of the week. Go for it.
So imagine the bottleneck theory is true, but imagine that bottleneck being a perfectionist also, right? So, yep. So you've got, you know, I am the bottle, or in that phase, I was certainly the bottleneck. So I delegate, comes back to me, then I perfect it, right? Because I was in that mindset. I mean, I built a business solo for the most part. Then I added some of these micro managing things, like I mentioned. Mm-hmm. So the delegation thing is cool if you can let go, but I'm not the kind of guy that can let go, right? Yep. If there's one typo in one contract, I'm all over it. Gotcha. And that's not at all, like, again, going back to the whole attracting the right people, trusting the right people. When I delegate now, it's like true delegation. To put someone in charge of something, it's their responsibility. Mm-hmm. So dramatically shrunk the number of direct reports. We'll probably get to that in a little bit. But I'll let Max pick up. He's probably got some pretty interesting insights.
No, just listening to your conversation. That's why I like doing these things. Just listening to the conversation that you two just had was what I am doing without realizing what you did until you just drew that on the board. Mm. I was literally a delegation machine. Mm-hmm. Right. And it does put a cap on yourself. So now I'm actually in the process now where I have my brother, he is the CEO of the company, and he now is the bottleneck. Like, I don't want to hear about it. Right. So now he takes on that position of the delegation, but that's where he's supposed to be at. You know, decisions don't have to go through me. Luckily I'm not a perfectionist, so I didn't have the huge oversight, but it's true. What exactly you're talking about, the transition, is the things that I'm actually doing now and building a bigger and better team as well.
Kylie knows a little bit about this. So everyone, you guys had a chance to meet Kylie last week. He is the new VP of marketing at Carrot, but also amazing background where he's built big teams. But Kylie, I'm going to write some stuff on here, man. So really quick, if someone is already delegating, let's say a VA, and they feel like they're capped out, What likely is that next step that they need to make to bust through that next phase?
Yeah. So you guys have talked about it a little bit, but what you typically don't delegate is decision making, mm-hmm. right? So it's delegating tasks is much easier than delegating decision making. And I think there's levels of delegating decision making too. There's decisions that already exist that are made maybe on a regular basis, and you can create some frameworks around how to make those decisions. And then there are decisions that maybe haven't come up yet, and that's an even higher level of delegation and trust. And I'm a little bit like Daniel. I get pulled down when I see an issue, like I see something not working and want to jump in and fix it. And I think it's so important to step back, look at it from a process perspective, dig in and try to help fix the process. Because if there's an error, it's either human error or it's process error, right? Mm-hmm. So figure out which it is and then try to solve it rather than sort of throwing your hands up and losing all faith in the system.
And if you guys are listening to this on the podcast version, when it comes out, go over to our YouTube channel, go to YouTube, type in Carrot, Investor Carrot, whatever it is, find the video version, because it's way more interesting than just listening to it. But if you're driving, awesome. So on the whiteboard, Kylie had just mentioned, we usually delegate tasks, right? But we oftentimes don't delegate decisions. So I wrote that as number two. First of all, we delegate tasks. That's where we're in the wheel here. As we have more people we're delegating to, we become a bottleneck. Usually it's kind of like around 6, 7, 8 people. That makes it really hard to do your work. And then it's decisions, like Kylie said, and that's creating processes, not just on how to do something, but how to decide what should be done. And then number three, it's results. And that's kind of where we are with Carrot right now, is we've been pretty good with tasks and then decisions. We still have a lot of gaps there, obviously. Like, we built up a lot of crust that we're working back through now, 5 years in, going, oh my gosh, half these systems aren't even valid anymore. But now it's results. And so at that point, now you're hiring leaders. You're hiring, as an example, that's why Kylie came aboard Carrot, because I'm like, I can no longer own results on this part of the marketing side. Who's a guy who can really come in here and own results and just know, and I know he can run it, he or she can run it really, really well. And Kylie was that guy. So he's stepping in and he's owning results now, which then also, of course, has some ownership in those things. But that's an evolution. Don't think you guys are starting here. Start with tasks, get a VA, get an assistant, something like that. Get that going so you're not doing all the work. And then next, when you get bottlenecked, go, okay, how do I make it so they're making more decisions and I'm not making all of them? That's my framework for the day. So let's dive in and answer a few questions here. So this one here came in from Archangel 3579 from YouTube. Awesome. So it says, Max Maxwell, this is directed to you, dude. It says, Max Maxwell, I hired my first remote person in November. I closed my first deal Monday in Fort Worth. I'm in Maryland. What's my next hire to plan for? Wow. The bummer is we can't bring this person in live to answer it. So there's a lot of questions we probably need to know. But Max, dude, first of all, hired the first remote person in November, closed their first deal on Monday in Texas. They're in Maryland. What's the next plan to hire?
I don't think you even start looking at hiring somebody else at all. Mm-hmm. I was consistently doing, you know, $30,000 a month before I even thought about bringing on somebody that I can sustain. And I talk about that a lot to make sure that you have, and maybe you do, that's why it is good to bring this person on, but maybe you do have the money to guarantee the pay for 6 months for a virtual assistant or a remote employee so that you can train them well. But it sounds like you got something good if you just hired them in November and you're not closing deals now. But I would not jump too fast. You got ahead of yourself in the beginning by hiring before you even got your first deal. Great, you beat the original statistic for that. But just make what you're doing now scalable. Like, you know, one VA can handle a couple deals a month, depending on the processes and the systems that you have them do. So don't move too fast yet, because you don't want to become overwhelmed with staff and have too much of an overhead either. I know that's another big problem about growing as well.
Yep. I'm going to try something that might completely backfire, guys. And Brady's probably cringing behind the thing as soon as I say this. So Archangel, is it a bad idea to give him my Zoom link and like have him come on here and we talk to him live?
Probably.
we'll practice that some other day. So we answer Max, amazing answer, man. So
let me say this. I love what Max said, because here's kind of the thing. Like, I think one of the problems as investors is we, especially someone new coming in and they're listening to people. There's people that, you know, whether it's iTunes, YouTube, there's so much influencers out there that are giving advice, and each one has their own space that they're commanding, right? Which is awesome. So, but I think a lot of times as investors, we don't go into this as a business. So we don't look at those things from that angle, what Max is talking about, making sure that you're not overwhelming yourself with you're struggling alone just to get through the task. How do you expect someone to be successful in carrying that same task that you're trying to delegate over to them? You know, because to me, it's like, how, I just don't think that we do enough to set up people to be successful, providing with the right resources, providing them, like you said, make sure they're going to get paid. You know, like, we always want to cut corners. So, as Max said, like, this guy just, you know, he's definitely done you kind of beat the system in terms of how, you know, logically you should go about, but guys, like, just be thoughtful in your whole process. But I think personally, everybody should be answering their own calls when they're getting started. Everyone should be going on their own appointments. Everyone should be talking to sellers. You got to get your feet wet. You got to get really that wisdom that only comes through doing. Then I believe you go out and start delegating, start hiring from that point. But I think too many people are listening to investors that are like 50 steps ahead of us. Mm-hmm. And they're being told, hey, go hire an answering company. Yeah. Go delegate this, or hey, you need to have a system, you know. So now, like, they're just getting ahead of themselves. Now they're just going in circles, and they never accomplish anything. So mm-hmm. just going in circles and frustrated.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I say that there's always different levels of investors out there, and you should find one to where you're at. And I tell people, like, even myself, I know eventually I'll become unrelatable to the guy that's starting. And it's just a process, and hopefully somebody comes behind me and fills those shoes. But as a person that puts out video, as an influencer, I try to be very careful with the advice that I give, because I know 95% of people have just started. So I don't give big theory stuff. Like, if I was talking to Daniel or Trevor about business, I don't give those type of advices, because we're just so far ahead that will just conclude. And I always tell people, when I start, there's so much white noise out here. Figure out where you're at and follow somebody that is somewhat a few steps ahead of you, mm-hmm. or somebody that is giving advice to that particular audience, like yourself.
I love it. And we've got more people coming on. Ask your question on Facebook, YouTube, or go to carrot.com/ask. Send your question. We've got some more questions here. We're going to answer them live. Someone, was that you, Kylie, was going to say something?
Yeah, that was me. I was just going to add something real quick to the awesome stuff Adrian and Max already said. I think a lot of people think that they grow their team and then they grow their revenue. Mm. And while that is true to some extent, you got to think about it the other way around. Usually when you're building a team or adding to your team, it's because you've reached a point where you can no longer grow because you have reached max capacity on manpower. So that's probably you first. And then it's you and another person, and then you reach that max capacity, and then you add again. I mean, the only way you can successfully grow a team first and then grow your revenue is if you're like funded, or if you got a big bank account or something like that. Otherwise, you want to get to the point. I think if it's just you, get to the point where you're like, man, I'm doing so many deals, I got so many calls coming in that I'm starting to miss some of those calls. Yep. Because my marketing's working so well. Now I'm starting to miss some calls, and I'm closing enough deals that I can bring someone on to help answer those calls or whatever it is.
Totally agree with that.
So Kylie, can you repeat all of that? I was so focused on your t-shirt that I...
Yeah, I will. I'm going to text it to you though, one word at a time.
No, good stuff though. You got to give them a hard time.
I love it. So Daniel, toss it up to you, man. You mentioned you're a perfectionist, and I can definitely relate to that as well. I'm less so now, and probably there's people on my team probably see things I let slide on some of the details that I never would have before. And I'm not saying that's good. I've had to get over some of it. I've got a question for you, and then we're going to bounce to Richard Field's question, who's another perfectionist. Actually, Richard is a perfectionist as well. Richard, like, very detailed oriented. I think Richard, you would profess yourself as a perfectionist. But how are you starting to get over that perfectionism, Daniel? What are you doing? Is it systems? Is it you just kind of changing the way some of your things are doing? How are you doing with it?
I mean, it's probably a little bit of both. It's probably a little bit of systems. It's probably mostly, it's just a decision on my part. I mean, I wake up a perfectionist and then I sit down at my desk and I have to realize that that's not going to work. I mean, so for me, it's just a decision to change my mindset. And then that decision over time consistently has shown me that I'm way more efficient if I let go of that kind of stuff. There's not like some trick that I discovered or something. It's just being conscious. It's being aware. Yep. And then reminding myself to let it go.
Yep. I like it. So Richard Fields asks, is a follow-up question for Max. Richard Fields is down in Houston, Texas, Carrot client, amazing guy. He actually came up here to Oregon a few months ago, hang out with us for a day at Carrot HQ. Follow-up for Max. What have you learned about remote employees, what others might call VAs? What have you learned about remote employees, Max? I know you work with a good number of them.
I'm not sure I understand the question, but I'll try to answer it.
It's a very broad question.
Yeah, they're human like us. Yeah. Right? And they're just as intelligent as we are, some of them even more. So give them tasks and give them assignments and trust that they will complete them. And if you're loyal to them, they are very, very extremely loyal to you. Mm. So just be patient and know that they can only be as good as you at the best. Mm-hmm. So hopefully you know what you're doing before you train them.
And Richard, since he's a Carrot member, have him, Richard, check out one of the calls. I had Max on a coaching call, and it was a really game changer for me as well, just in terms of mentality of how most people look at VAs. I love how Max calls them actually remote employees, not VAs. And I think when you have that perspective about them, you do begin to look at them more as humans, right? I think, I don't know, there's just some negative vibe that there is with VAs. It's almost like, you know, I don't know how to explain it. Like they're just someone that we can just be a taskmaster to do it. We put high expectations on them. And if they don't do it, we drop them quickly. Mm-hmm. But yet the problem was we just never either trained them correctly or we just didn't treat them right, right? So Richard, I don't know what number that coaching call was, but it was a very, very good call that I had Max on one of the coaching calls, and we cover pretty well a lot of Max's process and just the way he goes about it. So very, very good call.
Daniel, is your whole team there in Baltimore? Or do you have any remote or virtual assistants or employees?
No, a lot of remote people now. I've got a guy in Long Beach, California. That works on our acquisition team. I've got a guy down in St. Petersburg, Florida, that works on our team. So some remote guys here that are sort of internally, and then we've got a whole team of VAs now in the Philippines. That's totally changed how we assign repetitive tasks and things like that. So a lot of marketing stuff is headed that way towards the Philippine VA people, and then a lot of marketing stuff will end up there as well.
Mm-hmm. I love it. So one thing I want to bring up really quick is there's some more questions I want to dig into. Brady's popping through that are coming from YouTube and from our Ask Carrot page and some from Facebook is tools. If you guys are cool with it, we'll do a little tool share section. Can talk. What tools do we use to communicate with our teams, whether it's VAs or our full-time employees? I saw you guys have adopted Slack, Daniel. Is that something you guys are digging or are you still kind of trying to figure out how to use it well?
100% Slack. So everything is on Slack. We have a pretty consistent, this is something I learned from you, just like communication cadence and things like that. We have a pretty consistent team meeting schedule, which is we try to pop as many people on a video as we can. The audio meetings have been decent, but I've learned the last couple months if people see each other, it's huge. So we jump on a couple of team meetings, everybody in Google Hangouts pretty often. And then I do another thing I learned from Carrot Camp. We do something called 9 at 9. So that's really just me sort of, it's one-sided meeting. Mm-hmm. I pop in at 9 a.m. I let the team know where I'm at, what I've got going on, sort of try to lay out some expectations for the day, for the week. And that's all recorded. So that's normally like a Loom type thing, but literally every single thing that we use, is integrated into Slack. So mm-hmm. we try to eliminate multiple systems, everything is in Slack. If it can't go in Slack, then we find a different system.
So. Max, what are you guys using for communication for your team?
Yeah, I've been using Slack since the beginning.
Okay.
And we just integrate it with everything.
Yep. Right. Sweet. On our end, just for context too, I mean, we use Slack for our main communication, but then I've been using Voxer a lot more, kind of asynchronous communication. Because what happens when you have a bigger team, and once again, this is one of those moments where most of the people watching this probably can't relate, but those who can, cool, this might help you out. We have a bigger team. We have 25 or so people now. We're going to be around 30 by the end of the year. And so what happens, I can't hop on meetings every time a decision's made or something like that. And I love to do those oftentimes. And so we found, well, shoot, rather than a meeting, maybe a quick Voxers back and forth can solve it. And we don't have to hop on a meeting. So it saves a lot of time. I'd love to adopt a little bit more. And then you had mentioned the meeting cadence, Daniel. That's something that Adrian can attest. Man, we went for years without real meetings, right, Adrian? I mean.
Yeah, man, we just winged it pretty much.
We're it still worked. Winging it.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
That's been the cool part. And I'll just share this. I mean, we're kind of getting off topic, but, it's just been really cool to kind of see the different variations of what we've tried, what we've done. And it's just really cool to kind of see what works, what doesn't. You know, of course, there's a lot of different dynamics that play a role, what actually is going to work for, you know, your team. And it's funny thing, like I just copy what Care does in my real estate company, mm-hmm. you know, follow a model that works. But, you know, sometimes there's some fine adjustments. You know, so I still struggle with Slack a little bit because I'm more of a communicator in terms of just like hopping on a call or video, just, you know, I'm more audible. Mm-hmm. I'm just not patient with tech sometimes. So I think it's just everyone kind of finding that, but you know, I didn't mean to get off topic.
So Max, I love it, man. So Max, when you're flying around, cause you've been traveling a lot lately leading up to Wholesaling Elite Live. And if you guys are just popping on, about five of us are going down to Dallas next week for Wholesaling Elite Live. Max's big ginormous event. Go to Google, guys. It's Google Wholesaling Elite Live or wholesalingelitelive.com. I use the carrot coupon code back there and you get 30% off your ticket, y'all. Like 30% off. Go use that. We'll see you guys down there. But while you're flying around, Max, how are you communicating with your team? What's that communication cadence look like? What's your meeting communication cadence? How are they reporting numbers to you? How do you know that the work's getting done?
Yeah, so we have a KPI dashboard that everything from even a single phone call is tracked. Mm-hmm. So I'm able to see that. We use a software called, it's on my phone here somewhere, Pletco. We use Pletco as a dashboard for our team. And the good thing about Pletco is that we have it's a gamified. So I can literally show each person is required to make 40 contacts a day, like on the sales side. Mm-hmm. So you can see where they're at minute by minute. You can see if somebody makes an offer, you can see the offer amount, who gets an offer accepted. So it's all gamified. Somebody gets a contract signed, the TV in the office does this little, plays this music and
that is cool.
Stuff like that. So it's pretty cool for gamified, but then I get to see the back end of it. You can walk in the office and be like, dang, okay, you can see where you're at for the month, for revenue, for the week. And it makes a team pretty cool. But anybody on my team, I pretty much require them to have an iPhone. Mm-hmm. Because I have iMessage. Mm-hmm. And when I'm on the plane, it just works. It doesn't fail. So we have big group messages and now we can do FaceTime with 30 people in it. So
I like it. Cool, man.
Hey, Max, how do you spell that?
Pletco. Mm-hmm. Pletco, and it's a Pletco dashboard. It's pretty dope.
You have to keep the L in there, Adrian, or else you're gonna find puppies and kitties. I just wanted to add, like, I love that Max's first response to how he communicates with his team on the road was not what some people would think of as like a traditional communication. It was a report, mm-hmm. right? And I was going to add that I think that's one of the best ways you can communicate without having to like take people's time to have a meeting is through KPIs and clear expectations and then looking at those KPIs, you know, like I've always felt like team internal or external communication can take a lot of forms, right? It can be like a face-to-face impersonal. It can be a scheduled meeting. It can be a phone call. It can be a report. There's a lot of ways to think about how we communicate with our team. And I think a lot of opportunities to systematize that too.
Mm-hmm. I like that 909. I like when Dave said the 909. So if that was at the carrot camp, I might have been asleep during that time. Actually, I don't sleep at carrot camp. But I was just saying the 909, I think I'm going to do that because I like the one-sided of because I really don't want to know everything that's going on. That's why I got somebody else doing it. But I'm like, okay, I'm going to update you on what I got going on and what expectations. And I looked at the deal board. You know, I can point out certain people and recognize them mm-hmm. or whatever I need to do.
And dude, especially if you're the visionary of the company or the one that they kind of look to for that vision, that energy, that's where that's huge as you build a team with a few people. Here at Carrot too, I mean, we've got a couple of us, few of us that are kind of that. But that's something we don't have as, I guess we do. We have our daily huddles now for the team lead. Each teams have daily huddles. They're quick, you know, sub 10-minute meetings. And then we have our weekly sync call, SYNC, which they all start with kind of that thing. Hey, energy wins, caught being awesome. And then it goes into agendas. Anyone that's going to be coming to Carrot Camp. So Deanna mentioned a lot of these things he picked up at Carrot Camp. The next Carrot Camp is May 20th and 21st. Go to carrotcamp.com. Levi just popped in my office. We just opened up and actually like sent our first email this week. We've only sent one email and we've almost got, it's either 9 or 10 slots already filled this week for Carrot Camp. So we're going to sell the rest out. But make sure that you guys, if you want a chance to come to Carrot Camp in May, go to carrotcamp.com right now, apply. We'd love to see you here. But this Carrot Camp, one thing I'm going to be focusing on is even since the last one, we've created a lot of frameworks behind the scenes that we're using. And I'm going to be taking those frameworks and everyone's going to get them. You guys are all going to get them too. They're going to go in the Carrot Camp alumni page when I get them all fleshed out. So you guys will all get that. Our meeting and call agenda framework that I got from my coach, planning frameworks that are working for us. We're adjusting some of those things. All that kind of stuff is going to get shared with you guys. Anyone who's a Carrot Camp alumni, we're at the Carrot Camp coming up. You guys will get it. So here's some questions. Mylan's Gaming from YouTube. I always love the YouTube names, man. Like they never make any sense, but they also tell you a lot about that person. So Mylan's Gaming, YouTube. What CRM are you guys using? And what do you wish the CRM provided you that it doesn't now? I'm guessing this person owns a CRM company is what I would guess, but I don't know.
I mean, going back to the perfectionist thing, that's something I had to get over with the CRM stuff. There's not a single on the market. There's not a single CRM that does every single thing I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll just say right now we're with Investor Fuse, pretty good friends with Dan Swartz and we have a direct line of communication. I've seen a lot of progress with what they've been putting out. But there's other tools like Max. So they use Pleco. There's other tools that we use, in addition to the CRM to help us keep track of stuff, as well. So I don't, for me in my search, I mean, I sat there for a year trying to find the absolute best CRM. It doesn't exist. So, and I don't have the budget to build it up in a custom way, but yeah, we use like I said, Investor Fuse 2.0 for right now. And, like I said, a lot of sort of auxiliary tools that we plug into it. So,
yeah, for us, we're doing the same. I'm actually converting everything to 2.0. But you know, mm-hmm. like I said, I don't know Dan Schwartz like you do, but you know, I can text somebody, man. Come on,
yeah.
But no, it's cool. And the reason why I use it, I'll be honest, I've never looked at anybody else's CRM. Mm-hmm. I just been using it since day one, so yeah. I don't even know what another CRM looks like.
Mm-hmm. Dude. Adrian, sorry, man.
I'm with these guys. I'm on Investor Fuse 2.0. Mm-hmm. I'm really, really am becoming a really big fan of it because for me, again, it kind of goes back to what you guys are doing. I think there's sometimes as wholesalers, investors, there's a sense of obligation. Like, you know, we see this new tool and we got to have it because it's going to change our business. But being practical, like I tried, you know, the Protear versions, I've tried different types, and I come to realize, wait a minute, like I'm trying to build, it's kind of like what you said, Trevor, you made a comment, like trying to build a rocket ship to go to the grocery store, right? It's just, some things are just not necessary. And I'll say this, I'm a one trick pony, right? All I do is just online marketing. I'm not doing anything offline. Some of that's going to change, of course, because, you know, if we want to grow, we got to have to expand into the marketing. But
I'll force you to change.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 100%. So we've just been doing nothing but online marketing. So it just made sense. Like, why not just keep it simple? So that's what I love about investor fees. And we're not here to plug them. But, you know, I love the simplicity of it. I just brought on a new lead manager and she absolutely loves it. So, you know, basically, you know, she's, you know, I'm training her and she's just quickly been able to learn just through that process to work. Cause we tested Podio and Investor Fuse 2.0 at the same time. And it's just, it would, you know, if you're one of those persons that love going in rabbit holes, that's what Podio kind of forces you to do. Because I mean, there's something you could literally learn every day for a full year with Podio, which is cool. I mean, if you like that, but as investors, we kind of have to learn how to stay in our lanes, right? Yeah. I mean, that's why at Carrot, we're so successful because we help investors stay investors, not techies, not designers, you know, leave all the conversion stuff to us. We'll figure it out for you. You go out and do what you do best. Right. And I think that's one of the things that I've learned is just learn how to, you know, keep it simple. And if you grow, cross that bridge at that point, yep. Put as much money into putting it into your marketing as much as possible. Mm-hmm. Right. So
I love it.
I got two quick thoughts on that too, if I can really quickly. Number one, there's no such thing as a perfect CRM. It just doesn't exist because everybody wants things a little bit differently. So even a CRM that's built specifically for the industry, like Investor Fuse is, every investor that uses it is probably going to have something that they wish it had, you know? So that hunt for the perfect unicorn CRM is never ending. So I know, I think I've talked to a lot of investors that sometimes get hung up on that or another tool, and they think they've got to have that in place before they can start. And I think that's one of the, that's just not true. Like you don't, you can use a spreadsheet or a free HubSpot or whatever, like if you're just getting started. Now, obviously at some point you want something sophisticated, and these guys might disagree with me, but I think a lot of people get hung up on what CRM they're gonna use before they even start.
No, I love that because I didn't get my first CRM until like a year and a half after being in business. You know, it was just really, I mean, obviously part of it too was we're just doing online lead generation. That was it. So that kind of helped not having to manage, you know, all these different campaigns. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, shoot, guys, if, you know, put, you know, so I bet you what's going to happen, everybody's going to cancel their services just to get Matt's ticket.
That's right. So one quick thing to close out, we're going to answer a few more questions. I know we're approaching the hour. If any of you guys have to jet, you know, if you guys got to go, we got enough people here that can cover it. If you guys can hang on for another 15 minutes, cool. We can answer a few more questions. On the CRM thing, guys, Brian Rockwell did 600K his first year, all with Carrot, all online, all on a whiteboard, okay? Like, he didn't have a CRM. He didn't have any of that stuff. And when he came to Carrot Camp and he crushed it that first year being a school teacher, I mean, he didn't have previous experience. He's not a big outgoing guy. Everyone's like, dude, what CRM are you using? He's like, a whiteboard in my office. And that was right. It. And he's like, now I need to get a CRM because now I know I'm losing some deals for follow-up. So, and then Jeff Filali, he closes multiple six figures a year in profits a year. Someone on a Facebook group recently asked him, hey Jeff, what CRM do you use? And he goes, just the Carrot lead manager. He goes, that's all I use. You just move your leads from here to here to here to the different stages. You add notes to it. You can send da 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 da. He goes, that's all I use. And we're going to continue to make our lead manager better. Mark Rollins from YouTube says maybe Carrot should come out with a CRM. You might be onto something, man. We'll see. You might be onto something. From YouTube again, Misha Purnell. When did you guys start using AdWords? Was it once you got to a certain point, or did you get it started as soon as possible? Google AdWords.
Me personally, probably not until after a year. When I got in this business, I think actually where I started even doing stuff with Carrot was through YouTube. Back then, YouTube was super easy to optimize. You can dominate and generate leads with YouTube videos. Then I focused on SEO, and that was it. But after a while, one of the things with different marketing channels is that you're going to always have a cap, right? I mean, there's so many, just because you have a website optimized for number one in your market doesn't mean there's an infinite amount of leads. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to always cap out. So now is that time to where you start stacking on different marketing campaigns. So for me, it was probably a year. Love it now. It's probably our biggest producer. I just love leveraging Google overall, both organically and the paid, because, as you increase your presence, obviously you position yourself a lot better, both on the keyword side and also on the branding side. So I love AdWords.
Cool. What about you, Max? I know you're doing some PPC. Are you still doing PPC? You were at one point, Absolutely. At least, yeah.
Yeah, we spend quite a bit on PPC every month. PPC is great. Bandit signs are great. I use a lot of RVMs, which is kind of easy for us. And we do a lot of cold calling, just something that I can measure and control a lot easy. PPC is kind of like the wild, wild west, but it works. but I like RVMs and I like cold calling. I keep it pretty simple. There's probably 9 different marketing things we can do, but we really focus on about 4.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, that they all work, right? Like people, they go, oh my gosh, I need to do PPC now because someone says it works. Well, it does work. You got to do it right, and then it works. Or
all of the marketing efforts work.
They all
work. If you work it, it works. If you just go to the courthouse and pull probate leads, or you just tackle, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. There's not a marketing tactic that I haven't heard that doesn't work. Mm-hmm. From mail to phone calls, it's all about what you want to do and how much you want to spend and how consistent you are with that lead generation thing.
It exactly. And then within those, of course, there's how do you make it actually perform, right? So if you went to the courthouse and got your probate lead and sent them all Valentine's letters, you're probably not going to buy a lot of houses, but you might get a wife or a husband. So you've got to change the messaging on that card, right, to really talk about that and convert it well, and then make sure you're answering phone calls well. Same thing with PPC. If you're driving to a non-converting website, it's not going to work. It just won't work for you, which is what we focus on. Daniel, one of your biggest things, dude, is cash buyer list. I mean, when we had you on the Carrot Cast a while back, we were looking at your cash buyer list, and it's ginormous in Baltimore, like well in the thousands. What are you doing to build that cash buyer list? Is it all organic, or is it a little bit of it paid?
Yeah, so I've spent in my entire career in real estate, I spent exactly $0 on PPC. it's just not something that I really want to tackle.
Yep.
A couple of the markets that I want to play in, like Baltimore, Tampa, St. Petersburg, Miami, some of those markets, the bids just don't make any sense. I mean, I've got to sit down and really figure out a strategy, and I don't have the time for that. I know how much a lead costs me organically. I know how much a lead costs me with some other stuff that we do, and the numbers work. So there's no reason for me to go after anything else. But pardon me, for the cash buyers, I mean, most of it's organic. I've spent a lot of time, money, and energy building brand recognition stuff on Facebook. So we retarget a lot of traffic. Wherever we're doing business, we just try to network with as many investors as we can. Mm-hmm. And then something we started doing about 18 months ago or something is we're pretty active with our cash buyers. So if someone joins the list, it doesn't matter how they get to me, we call them. So we're reaching out to every single cash buyer that joins the list. We're telling them a little bit about our company, figuring out what they want, building some rapport. And I think that's sort of been the key to having like an active, like a real performing active cash buyers list.
Dude, so after Carrot Camp, so you got you, Tony, Max, Petru from Florida, and there was a bunch of other awesome people there. But I'm saying you guys were there, and I saw a post in the Carrot Camp alumni group where, wasn't it Petru, you and Tony had closed the deal together? Petru picked off of his niche, which is auction sites. That's what he knows.
Crazy.
And off of auction sites. And then was it your cash buyer list that sold it? Was that the connection
Yeah, exactly. So, and that's the thing, like Petru, I mean, the reason I don't touch PPC is because I don't know it inside and out. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's the same reason I don't really touch auctions. I don't know them inside out. So I'm going to let people do what they do best. And then I'm going to, pick up the scraps. And the scraps are pretty decent when we're splitting a $25,000-$26,000 deal. So, I just, like I said, our business model has been buyer forward. We build relationships with buyers, and then we sort of market on the backside of that. So, that model itself, lends to a huge, like, joint venture, whatever you want to call it, like a huge joint venture business for us.
That's people, important.
I was talking to Trevor earlier in the week about just building credibility and just being a presence. And people, like, in the couple, like I said, in the couple of markets that we're active, Baltimore, Richmond, some Florida stuff. If someone can't sell a deal, they call me. And that's been a huge part of my business.
And that's important. I don't know if people are paying attention to that, but that's actually something I challenged myself on last year and completely failed as far as trying to just build the largest buyers list in the Carolinas and just start going out. Not largest, but actually create a system. You know, I think a lot of people, and this is something I'm probably talking out loud and this should be an internal conversation, but I think a lot of people should be focusing more on building the actual real buyer side of things. Now, we started doing that with some software and stuff that we're doing, but if you focus on just drawing, remember, every deal has to sell. That's all I'm gonna say. Yep. Every deal has to sell. So you can figure out the rest.
Yep.
So I'm challenging myself. The second half of the year, I'm really gonna launch something that's gonna try to change that.
Dude, I love it. I love it. Oh, go for it.
No, I was gonna say, like, it's a bit of a jump. It was a jump for me to sort of invest that time, energy, money. I mean, I wasn't the one on the calls for the most part, but I dedicated a person to call back every single cash buyer that reached out to us. And that's a salary, that's phone lines, that, you know, that's money that I've put into it. But the thing, when you're proactive about the buyers list like that, what I've experienced, number one, if you talk to people and you vet them, and they get a good, like, a gut feeling about your company, the referral business is just huge, right? So I got one cash buyer, I sell them a decent deal because we had a great conversation. Because we connected, not because he randomly opened some email blast, right?
Yep.
Like, I don't sell properties on email blasts. Email blasts are like brand recognition type stuff. We sell properties having a relationship with somebody. And if you build that relationship, my point is you put together a decent product, a product that somebody wants, a product that someone told you they wanted, then you found it. They're going to run and tell their other investor friends. I mean, there's not a single real cash buyer out here that doesn't know 10 other real cash buyers. So yeah, exactly. I mean, and that's sort of how that compound interest, if you will, is sort of how that thing grew, as quickly and as solidly as it did.
I love it. I love it. So we're a little over the hour. There's a few more questions here about tools. These are quick ones. Chris and Tay on YouTube. What service do you guys recommend for RVMs?
Well, I'll go ahead. That's a Max question right there.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and answer that one. REIRail.com.
Perfect. And Max would suggest the same one, guys. That's obviously when he's a part of that company. So REIRail.com. It's amazing. This is a hard question. Like, Pam, I really would love to give you a good straight answer here, but it's always a hard one. Pam from YouTube comments are blowing up. Pam says, who do you use to manage your AdWords? And I mean, there's AdWords nerds, which they're awesome, but then there's also I love them over there, but there's also times like, man. Yeah. If you're watching this, Dan, I love you guys, man. But the biggest gripe we get is just the pricing model is really hard for most people to palate at the moment. Yeah.
But listen, I've been to three in this business that I've been in, and you know what? All of them have worked to a certain extent. So it's not like you're getting nothing. Mm-hmm. But man, it's difficult. It's difficult to drop that $8,000 just for somebody to manage a campaign. That's not including spend, but it is what it is. If it works, it works.
One thing that I'll kind of throw a spin on this is that if you're looking to manage your own AdWords accounts, one thing I would say is, you know, does it fit within your unique ability? When I say what I mean by that is if you love going on rabbit holes, you love being analytical, you're a very patient person, you know, then you probably shouldn't be doing PPC, right? And to me, that's why I love SEO and PPC because I'm one of those guys. That I love doing that, right? That's where I spend a lot of my time. But I just seen, because we do a lot of one-on-one coaching calls here at Carrot and that we provide support for our members. And I just see consistently, I can recognize the personality of this person and they're just, you know, losing their hair. They're just frustrated up to their neck when it comes to PVC. And a lot of it just depends. They're just kind of just not patient with stuff. So I think my approach is a little bit, my advice would become more of, who are you? You know, obviously if you're in a nice position to where you have that flexibility, you have that budget to hire someone, you know, then definitely do that. But like, as Max said, I mean, I think everyone has their own methodology. Everyone has their hypothesis as far as what should be done, what website you should use. So that is a tough one. So, but we've got plenty of training that we've cut on PPC here at Carrot. So.
Yeah. I'm going to add a quick thought there too. So I've been in the digital marketing space for a long time, and then in real estate specifically for a few years, and not talking about who specifically, but I would think more about what kind of relationship you want with them maybe, and what your expectations would be. You know, be wary of a company that hides behind jargon or won't share data or results with you. I know it sounds kind of crazy, right? But there are companies out there that do that. So,
you know, one mistake I made is giving up brand for leads, spending all that money and not be my website that is branded out there.
Ah, gotcha. Yep. Yep.
Yeah, it's smart, man.
Guys, two more questions and we'll bounce. So this one, a new investor from the Ask Carrot page says, as a beginning new investor who has not close the deal yet. This Carrot. So I'm going to read it, but I was like preparing for, what do you do? I didn't read the whole question before I started reading it. As a beginning investor who has not received, had a deal yet, does Carrot Core plan get us good lead? So it's someone that's looking at joining the Carrot ecosystem.
Let me answer that. Can I answer that?
For sure.
So I had Carrot right after my first deal, but I got my first deal very quickly. I've been a Carrot customer for over 2 years. Mm-hmm. When I've worked Carrot works wonderful. I remember where I went from zero to number two organically in my thing. Mm-hmm. So what happens is the articles that they give you behind Carrot, people don't use them.
Yep.
I don't know if they got a statistic, but people don't publish these comments. You literally go on there and type and click publish these articles once every week. And then you can line up 2 months worth of blogs that just automatically post for you. They're carefully written so that you rank higher. And so things like that have worked for me. But it goes back to the age old thing. If you got the money to spend that $49 to $50 on the core plan, the $100 or whatever it is, I don't even know. Cause I have agent Carrot and everything else they offer. Mm-hmm. If you actually sit down, go through the modules, do exactly what they say to do and work that thing every day. And that's all the budget you have. I promise you, you'll get calls and leads from it, mm-hmm. but then you have a whole nother problem. Do you know what to do when you get them?
Yep.
Follow up. So every chain link in this whole chain can be broken if you don't know what to do from step to step. But just be obsessed with it, man. That's what I say, because anything will work. Anything will work if you work it.
100%. And the main difference is, if any of you guys are looking at this, the core plan is just the website. The website, it converts insanely high. And I say just the website. It's going to convert your traffic into leads way higher than setting up a Wix, Weebly, Squarespace, WordPress site, any of our competitors. So that $50 a month, even though it's more than $7 a month for a hosting account, if you drive traffic to it, PPC, direct mail, any of that stuff is going to convert much higher and going to make you so much more money that year. But if you want any of the automations, if you want the automated content marketing system, like Max said, that's in our Content Pro and Advanced Marketer plans. If you want access to our coaching calls, that's Content Pro and Advanced Marketer plans. So for newer investors, I don't suggest that the brand new investor who doesn't know anything about the online side of things or just getting going, I don't suggest that you go it alone. You really need that weekly coaching call. And those are what Adrian's hopping on, or someone else from our team is hopping on every single week. Max has been on there before. Daniel's been on there before. Kylie's been on those coaching calls. Some of our most successful customers, we bring them in and have them coach you guys in a group format in the Content Pro and Advanced Marketer plan. So that's only $50 a month extra, guys. Only $50 a month extra. And then also, if you want to start to build a cash buyer list like Daniel, awesome. That's where the Content Pro plan comes in. Now you have two sites, one for sellers, one for buyers. You go out there and build the cash buyer list. You hop on the weekly coaching calls. Adrian says basically, hey, would you ask a question? Hey, would you have a chance to implement? You tell him and he'll give you an action item after that if you tell him specifics. So I would definitely not cheapen out on that extra $50, because it's not just like a little difference. It's a big difference in what you're going to get in the value and coaching and help that we'll have for you.
Trevor, before you go on, because I had this conversation today with my mm-hmm. with I was coming back from the airport. And when people say things are expensive, what is that even like really? Like one less cup of coffee a day will get you the full Content Pro plan.
Yep.
Like, and it's relative to what you value in life, right? And I don't care what you buy or how you get in this business. This whole, it don't matter what business you're in. It's all about mindset change. Mm. And as soon as you stop becoming a consumer, you will realize what's actually real important. I stress that a lot, man. I can, anybody on this whole entire coaching call right now can tell you exactly how to wholesale to make $1 million. Mm-hmm. Any single one of us on this call. But the thing is, if you're not ready to receive the mindset to actually do this, man, you're never going to get it. You're just never going to get it. So if it's truly a budget thing, you know, like Gary Vee says, stop buying stupid S. You know what I'm going to say. Exactly. So don't buy that stupid stuff anymore. Mm-hmm. And you can afford it. I promise you can.
Yep.
Yeah, seriously, get an envelope or a jar and or a different bank account because no one carries cash anymore. But like something my parents taught me growing up, I'm so glad they did exactly what Max is talking about. I wanted to save up for something and I kept complaining I didn't have money. And finally, my dad just put a jar down and he said, anytime you're going to buy like a soda or whatever, don't buy that soda, put that money in that jar. And that was an awesome lesson. So I know nobody carries cash, right? But do what Max is saying. Like if you're gonna buy a coffee, be like, nope, I'm gonna transfer $4 into this other bank account or whatever you gotta do to like get in that right mindset and break that habit.
Dude. There's apps for all this type of stuff, free apps, but just change your mindset. There's truly nothing expensive anymore. I remember I used to think things were expensive. I'll pay $20,000 for a mastermind, won't even blink.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's one of the things too, like even being with Carrot from the beginning, I remember like when I first signed up, like, dude, I think we're offering what plans at $29.
Dude, you're paying $29 a month, man. Like you get personal phone calls with me at lunch, all that $29 a month, dude.
But two years ago before Skip Tracing became everybody's business, I used to pay $1.50 for a Skip Trace just 2 years ago. And people say, oh, 24 cents is expensive. I'm like, are you crazy?
Exactly. Yep. Yeah.
And I think that's where a lot of people need to make that shift from you got to stop looking at costs and start looking at ROI, right? You're not going to get a return unless you invest something. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to make that sacrifice at some point. No one successful has ever gotten there taking shortcut. And if they made it, it's short-lived, right? Because, you know, that's why a lot of the biggest millionaires, billionaires, they can care less if they lost everything because they can rebuild.
Get it back.
Because they have the right mentality. They don't care around that poverty mindset about, you know, cost. Because even when I first started with Carrot, I mean, I went on this long journey of renewing my mindset. I remember when eBay, like all my books came from eBay. Like I was going through, like I struggled just to spend $20 on books. And I use eBay. You know, like back then it was like try to find some used one. Then I graduated into to you know courses and then events and you know so it slowly has progressed. And even with the tools we use, I remember, man, like I struggled $29, right? But as soon as I began to change my mindset. And I remember when we bumped up the plans and now my mentality changed to where the next plan, I think we came out with the Content Pro. Now my mindset changed to I got to have it, right? Mm-hmm. And even to this day, I'm still a full paying customer, guys. So I value the tools and I'm going to continue to invest into those things that got me to where I'm at. And I'm going to continue to invest into those things that are going to take me to the next level.
Yep.
You know, and a lot of it is going to depend on who you surround yourself with. When I picked up Max at the airport, I was picking his brain on social media because he's crushing it there. You know, one little thing, we could have rapped to Tupac all the way up to Roseburg, but you know what? We talk business, you know, and that's what we gotta. So it's how you spending your time and all that stuff. So, So challenge you guys, change your mindset.
If you found a vending machine that you could put $100 in and it would give you $500 back, $5,000 back, think about how you think about that vending machine. You wouldn't look at that vending machine and go $100 for a vending, like that's expensive. You'd say, how do I get more $100 bills so that I can feed the vending machine as fast as possible? Yeah. Because you know there's an ROI there.
I'd be asking everyone for $100 bills, man. Everybody. I love it, guys. Guys, this has been a blast. Appreciate you guys for hopping on here. Everybody, thanks for the questions. There was a couple that we just didn't have time to answer, but please, please, please make sure to send those questions through carrot.com/ask. We'll continue to answer them here on Carrot on Ask Carrot. And also thank you guys, Max. Appreciate you carving out the time, man. I know you're crazy slammed with the event coming up. And Daniel, dude, appreciate you. Same thing, man. You're scaling up your business, doing big things over there in Baltimore. Appreciate you, man, in a big way.
Anytime.
Cool.
Hey, so, hey, Daniel and Max, you want to let everybody know how what your IG handle is? Because you guys share a lot of good value there.
Yes.
So please share what your IG and Facebook.
Go ahead, Daniel.
Yeah, so I'll spell my name for you guys. So IG is just at Daniel, last name DiGiacomo. It's DiGiacomo.
Okay. And just search for me, Max Maxwell, on anywhere. And please follow me on IG. You'll see me.
Guys, follow them up, and I want you guys to do this right now. And we're going to be sending an email out to our whole list about this tomorrow when this comes live on our podcast. But the team and I, a lot of us are going down to Dallas next week. Okay, we're flying down Wednesday. Wholesaling Elite Live starts on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Gary Vee speaking. Is he speaking Friday?
Gary Vee speaking Friday. He doesn't work on the weekends.
There we go, man. So Gary Vee speaking Friday. We're going to have our own breakout room for Carrot on two of the days, and we're pumped about
that. Talk more about that, because I think that was a cool thing we did different than any other event.
Dude, we're still forming like what we're going to do during it, but I'm excited. So we're going to have this breakout room, four sessions, where you guys are basically saying, hey, during this two-hour time block, people can go around and one-hour breakout sessions, can go around to the four breakout rooms and learn. And what we're going to be doing, we're going to be digging in, guys, into active stuff. Okay, we're going to be showing you guys exactly very tactical and strategical things that you can do to drive more leads online, to amplify what Max and everyone else is already teaching too. So it's not just going to be, hey, cold calling in RVMs or online. No, we're going to be talking about how do you take the online stuff and amplify every single thing that every speaker is speaking about and make it all work even better. That's what we're going to be talking about there. And also, we're going to have our team to help you guys. Okay. Yeah. Mason's going to be there. Adrian's going to be there. Brady's going to be here. We're going to have our whole team to help you guys on certain things, to help you execute some things.
And it's cool. It's cool because what happened is when I did We Live 18, which was last year's event, I realized that you couldn't give all the information from stage.
Yep.
I was like, how do we do this? So we sat down and planned We Live 19, and we have breakout rooms. So essentially, you're going to hear somebody talk on main stage, maybe one or two people, and then you're going to have this 1 hour break. And then there's four breakout rooms. One room is going to be talking about objections. You're going to have Carrot building websites and showing you how to use your website. You're going to have people just talking about different things. Whatever you want to focus on for that hour, you go in that room. And then when that session breaks, we come back to the main stage and you have another speaker again.
Love it.
Another speaker. And then it breaks out again into another breakout room. And then so if you didn't get to go to this one, you get to go to this one next time. Mm. So then you can really focus and be selfish with this event and learn what you really want to learn.
Yep. Dude, I'm excited about it. So I'm going to drop this one last time, guys. Go to Google or just go up there and type wholesalingelitelive.com. And we've got a 30% discount code because we are a sponsor. We locked it down with Max's team last week. We put together a team for us to go down. We're going to have a crap ton of swag. Like Jen, my assistant, has been boxing up boxes of Carrot swag.
I want one. I'm running out of shirts.
Dude, we'll get you hooked up, man. I'm like, if nothing else, I want one objective that people cannot get away from orange at this event for 3 days. And so we're going to have so much swag down there. We have hundreds of Carrot dolls we're taking down there, tons of shirts, man. So we're pumped about it. It was meeting everybody. And Max, thank you for putting this together, man. Like we were talking before, this is not easy.
Thank you for helping, man.
Oh, for sure, dude. So everyone go to wholesalingelitelive.com, grab this because this does not stay live forever, okay? It's only a certain amount of tickets. So grab it. As long as the coupon code is working, then it's going to work for you. Get the ticket at that point. We'll see you guys next week. Daniel, dude, I love seeing you crush it, man. And it sounds like you might make a repeat visit to Roseburg sometime, maybe on our September Carrot Camp, maybe. Awesome.
I will be there in September.
Dude, we have a bunch of returners this one. We have Edward Beck and his business partner from Carrot Camp 1 are coming back in May. Bo Hollis is coming back again. Ben Suchek is coming back. He did his first $1 million year last year. He's an amazing dude. Brandy Pollock is coming back from Carrot Camp 2. He's crushing it. Oh man, we have others.
I'm be there. So sign me up. I'm going to be there.
You're coming back in May?
I'm coming back.
Dude.
Well, not May. What's the next one? September?
So May 20th and 21st, the next one. The one after that's going to be September.
Yeah, September. I plan on going to go visit my VAs in May.
There we go. So. Okay, cool. Awesome, man. Well, guys, have an amazing, amazing rest of the day. Thank you guys for showing up. Guys, ask Carrot. Show up next week, 1 o'clock Pacific time, every single Thursday. I don't know how we're going to swing it next week, but we'll give it a go because I'm going to be in Dallas. Thanks. Have an amazing rest of the week.
Do it live.
Yep, that's right. Thank you. See ya.